Today we're going to take a look at the second commandment as it reads in Exodus chapter 20, beginning in verse 4. You shall not make for yourself any carved image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them nor serve them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the third and fourth generations of those who hate me, but showing mercy to thousands to those who love me and keep my commandments. You know, one of the key problems when you worship an idol is that you end up worshiping a God that's been made in your own image, instead of worshiping a God who made you in His image. And that fact alone should make you stop and think before you make an object of worship out of anything. In the book of Romans, here's how the Apostle Paul describes what happens. Romans 1:22. Professing to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man and birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. There are a few things we should notice in what Paul says. First of all, most people who take up idol worship aren't doing it simply as an act of rebellion. To them, it seems like a really good idea. And to put it biblically, they profess themselves to be wise. When Aaron let the children of Israel build a golden calf and worship it, it seemed to him like the right thing to do. After all, Moses was gone somewhere up in the mountains, and the people were getting a little nervous. And since Moses was a visible representation of God's leadership in the camp, it probably seemed like a good idea to give the people some sort of earthly focal point for their worship and fend off any sort of destabilizing act of rebellion. Given the circumstances, and given our ability to rationalize just about anything, I'm sure that Aaron found all sorts of reasons that it seemed like a good idea. And it's because of this ability to convince ourselves that we're always doing the right thing, that we need some sort of benchmark we can hold our ideas against, like the Bible. Secondly, when you substitute the worship of anything for the worship of the Creator, it's always a trade down. You give up the glory of the one true Creator God for something corruptible and impermanent. And even if you don't worship a statue, anything you happen to worship in place of God, from successful people to man-made philosophies, is also a step down and a good bit of lousy planning. Just think about it. How in the world can a God that you made help you with problems that you also made? If you're not smart enough to handle a given situation, your arts and crafts aren't going to be smart enough to do it either. And neither will the people around you be smart enough, because they don't have answers for some of their own problems. And that's what makes worshiping a real God so important. In the book of Revelation chapter 14, we see a last day plea with the human race to return to the worship of God, which is a good indicator that even though human beings might not be in the widespread habit of carving statues and worshiping at their feet in the 21st century, we still have a problem with worshiping gods we invented in our own minds. And that means that even in the modern age, saving your worship for the God who made you is still going to be a better way to live.